Tim Hall, who's the local Surrey County Councillor. Welcome, Tim, for joining us today. This is a very great day here for us at Fetcham. I hope it is for you too. Not necessarily for all of you at Kennet Valley. I realise that it might be a painful day for you, but it is for the rest of us a happy day. And we're at the start of a new stage in the life of this church. We now have a new young pastor, the first time the church has ever had a family man and children as their pastor. Not that the children are the pastor, but they could well be, couldn't they? And we have a family raring to go. I'd like to be, if I may, a sort of old white-haired Paul to a young buck called John. Your primary task, as I understand it, John, according to the text that we've just read, is to preach the word. That's always been the task of every pastor. It's what Timothy was told by old man Paul, and indeed it's the high point of this letter, this second letter to Timothy. Probably the last letter that Paul wrote. Everything seems to lead up to this very positive charge or instruction. Paul wrote a very personal word to his friend Timothy, his young lieutenant. And as he passes on the baton, the ringing command is preach the word. But by the way, I hope you all don't mind, but I'd rather like to have a private word with John. I'd like to address him personally, if I may. And I invite you all just to listen in. People love listening in to other people's conversations, so I'm sure you'll enjoy this enormously. That's how I take it. The letter was written originally, or was received originally. Paul writes to Timothy, and the letter is probably publicly read out. But it is a word privately with one person to another. John, the first thing I'd like to say to you is this is a really serious task. So will you preach faithfully? You see, the language that Paul uses here is the language of commission. It's the issuing of a command. In fact, Don Carson says when he comments on this passage, it's difficult to conceive of a more spectacularly emotional plea than this. See, Paul is saying, above all the things that you want to do, all the things that you love to do, this one thing is more important than anything else. You really must do this. Whatever else crowds into your week, make time for this. This matters more than anything. Take the word of God, the scriptures, to yourself, and so teach it so that everybody listening to you embraces that word as God's word for them. Make this word live. I heard you this morning, and you did just that. Well done. Well done. But it is a really, really serious task. So preach faithfully. In fact, so serious is this task that Paul sets the bar sky high. Look at the text with me if you've got a Bible in front of you. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, he says, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. The bar is set really, really high, isn't it? Can anything be higher than that? It is God who is going to judge the living and the dead. It is this God in Jesus Christ who is going to return. Under his watchful eye, you're to carry out this task. My brother, preach the word. It's a really, really serious task. And in this highly charged appeal, God is also the witness. So rather like today, we're in his presence. Jesus is in the assembly. He's the judge to whom I and you are accountable. Think to yourself every Sunday, there's only one person in the audience. That's the living God. Preach the word, my brother. Preach the word. You see, to preach means to announce. It's a public proclamation. And it usually demands a response. Yes, of course we do it from a pulpit, as we call it, or a lectern. But we do it when we meet in small groups, don't we? We do it with just one person in a coffee shop. We open our Bibles together. We do it when we go and visit somebody and we read a scripture for them and we pray with them. Please don't teach it in such technical language that only other scholars would understand it. Please don't water it down so that people go away with different ideas about what the gospel really is. Please teach it so well so that everyone knows the biblical gospel. Everybody understands the call to follow King Jesus, to serve him wholeheartedly. John, my brother, this is really a serious task. Pastor John, pastor your people through the word of God. This word is essential as the air that we breathe. Make sure that what you say about the Bible is clear to everyone, especially to those hearing it for the very first time. Teach the Bible biblically. Don't just leap around the various sentences of the Bible. Don't just pluck them out of thin air. Get the flow, as you did this morning, of the Bible, from Genesis to Jesus Christ, we went this morning. Show how all the scriptures point to the Lord Jesus. Take the big sweep, as well as the smaller details. My brother, speak in language that everyone can understand. Not Bible gobbledygook. Not New Testament Greek. And certainly not Hebrew. But preach in ways that is English, that people can understand. Speak so that everyone can see your love for the Lord Jesus oozes out of you. Speak so that the beauty of Jesus is made clear. My brother, this is serious work and therefore hard work. Give yourself time to it. Build up your study with profitable books. Ask people to constantly pray for you. I bet you've never been prayed like we have just now, ever before in your life like this. This is serious work. As you well know and I know, there is a prowling devil who dislikes the word of God. He will use every tactic in his armaments to distract you from the task, to prevent you from preparing well, to keep people away from listening to you, who fall asleep at the wrong time, whose mobile phone goes off just then. Pray hard. Pray hard at communicating God's truth clearly, boldly, attractively. John, my brother, this is really serious work. Now, it's very interesting in the letter that everything that Paul has said up to now has been negative. You see, people could go astray, he's told them in Timothy. The world around us is very corrupt, he warned Timothy. This, however, is a positive activity. This is the thing that everything in the letter has led up to. This is the thing you have to do. Preach the word. So therefore, it means have an outward focus. It means encourage people to gossip this good gospel at all times. Teach your people to live by the gospel. Teach your people whether you feel like it or not, or whether they feel like it or not. Whether they're feeling sleepy or whether they're not. Teach them at all times. Be prepared in season and out of season. John, this is a really serious task. But also, John, this is a really precise task. So preach pastorally. But Paul says we are to reprove, correct, rebuke, exhort, or encourage. He says there are times when people's faulty thinking will need to be corrected. There are times when you would need to rebuke people for the way they're living. You would need to show people a better way to live. There are times when you'll need to be encouraging God's people. Don't be a shouter who's always telling people off. Don't be a flatterer who always says how wonderful people are. Be a biblical pastor. Correct, rebuke, encourage. If you're known as anything, be known as a great encourager. John, preach pastorally. And do so with what Paul calls complete or great patience and careful instruction. You see, as you and I know, we have to understand the climate of today. We have to see where the fault lines are of today. We have to look at the roots of wrong attitudes of today. Please don't just say it's all due to sin. Sure it is. Show how people's thinking has been distorted. Show a correct way to live, as apart from a wrong way. Show from scriptures a better way to live. Show us Jesus. Be patient with your people, my brother. This is a really precise task, so preach pastorally. Yes, by all means read the great ones of the past, but read contemporary writers. Me, I enjoy on Tuesdays buying the Times. Actually, buying is the wrong word. Going to Waitrose, getting my free coffee in the Times, getting the Times on Tuesday, and reading that Jewish writer, Melanie Phillips. She did a fantastic article a few weeks ago on rampant secularism. It was most helpful. Talk issues through with fellow pastors. Attend the best conferences you can. Soak up all the truth you can. Spend time digesting it. Don't just preach on a topic too early. Let it really sink into your soul. Plan your preaching well in advance. This is a really precise task. Preach pastorally. But it's a really focused task as well, thirdly. Paul says that we're to be sober-minded, he says. Sober-minded. So preach calmly, calmly. We humans love picking up titbits from here and there. A radio program, a blog, someone's Facebook comment. But often they're only tiny, tiny little bits of truth, aren't they? Make sure that what you teach is all-rounded truth. See, people love the myths of today. All the leadership gurus and their sound bites. That's the water we're swimming in. Hold on to the truth. Break it down into manageable chunks. Teach it with great winsomeness, enthusiasm, and always take your people to the Lord Jesus. Paul puts it like this. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to hear what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. You see, sound doctrine, as you know, is not loved by all. We love the latest fad. We love the latest preacher on the block. Many people just want affirmation, don't they? They're only motivated when their own desires are pandered to. So they find teachers who massage their own felt needs. But in the end, it's all half-truths, it's all myths. It's a scary thing to teach the truth. Not everyone will love you for it. Indeed, Paul says you've got to endure hardship. But you, John, verse 5, keep your head in all situations. Discharge all your duties. Do the work of an evangelist. Now, all of us, every human, has a framework of ideas, a worldview, we call it. They have a set of lenses through which we all see the world. And we all think, each individual thinks, that we are neutral, that the way we see it is the correct way to see the world. But not everyone can be right, can they? The Word of God, however, is always right. So your task is both to disentangle wrong thinking and to reconstruct a biblical view of things. Keep pushing at the boundaries. Be a proclaimer, a church grower. Do the work of an evangelist. Don't have a fortress mentality. The world's against us and we just hunker down. Don't only talk to insiders with inside language. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Remember, it's not just getting to know the text better. It's getting to know the Lord Jesus better, isn't it? That's our aim. To lead people gently to the wonderful Lord Jesus. That's our aim. Serious, pastoral, and calm. Lastly, this must be a leadership task, surely. You see, preaching doesn't mean pulpiteering. It's not the position we stand or the public nature that's central. It's the Word of God that we want to get out to all and sundry. This preaching style is only one of many. As I say, there's one-to-one Bible reading, there's group work that we often do, there's training people in handling the Bible. Even evangelism means making clear to those who are not yet believers in Christ what the Bible does actually say. We're to use the Bible well, even in our evangelism. So work hard at all the different ways of getting the truth out there. And that means there'll have to be organisation and strategy. That means there'll have to be a plan of operation. Well, we know we're going through Exodus for the next few weeks, but where after that? What are the other things that we need to set up? What are the priorities? To be a Bible teacher means we need to lead people. Like the good shepherd leading people into green pastures. May I ask you, don't be a last minute man, please. Plan and prepare well. Pastors are leaders of flocks, nourishing them and nurturing them, feeding them, and leading people into evangelism. You may not be an evangelist yourself. In your case, I think you probably are. But you've got to do the work of one, says Paul. And a well-led church, teaches the Bible to everyone, young and old, knowledgeable, and those newer to things. including those not even yet in the kingdom. John, lead your people in the task of making Christ known. Get alongside people, introducing them to the best friend they could possibly have, our Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't we thrilled that Paul put these words into the scriptures? This emotional plea to preach the word. We take that seriously, my brother, don't we? We recognise that we are in very feeble times today, spiritually. We recognise that the urgent need to make Christ known is important to us, so we're focused. We know it's easy to go off the rails, so we want to use our Bibles biblically. We want to lead people to the greatest hero we can possibly imagine, the great rescuer, the Lord Jesus himself. My brother and friend, may the Lord empower you for this daily task. Sorry, may he empower you daily for this task. Thank you for everyone listening. Very kind of you to be so quiet for the last 20 minutes to listen to our personal conversation. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us the scriptures. We've prayed already for John and Ruth, and we ask that you would help John to teach the truth from the scriptures, whether it's hard or easy, whether he feels ready or not. We all know that we live in difficult times. People aren't tumbling over one another to get into church. There are not traffic jams on Sunday to come to the buildings. Please help John not to listen to the devil's lie that he's doing no good and he should just keep quiet. Please help him to make the message of the Bible clear, to train us all up to see Jesus as the one to love and follow and die for. For we pray this afternoon in his great and holy name. Amen. Let's hear the call of the kingdom, and let's worship the Lord Jesus as we sing this song together. Season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Now, Father, we thank you for all that we've shared together, all that we've heard, food around the edge of the room, friends to talk to. Thank you so much for such a great time so far. Help us to eat well, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. There is one rule about the food, just one. And the rule is this: it all must go. Okay, that's the rule. It all must go. So make your way round to the edge, help yourself to some food, and then introduce yourself to other people that you might not know, welcome some friends, and then go around a second or third or fourth time.